Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Break it up.
This way, officer. He's in here.
All right, miss. Casey.
Yes, Captain.
Now, you stay right there in that doorway and don't let nobody in or out.
Right, Captain. All right now. All right, you heard him.
Oh, but we had nothing to do with this.
Okay, sister. If you didn't, you ain't got nothing to be scared of. Hey, you. Where do you think you're going?
I thought I might get a little air, if you don't mind.
Well, I do mind. Now, back in the house with you. What's the big idea of you wearing that mask?
As you might have observed, my friend, this is a masquerade party.
Oh, is it now? Well, according to Emily Post, it's masks off at midnight. And we got this call to come out here just as the clock in Washington Circle was striking the hour.
The call was placed by a most hysterical woman. And there is nothing you can do for the man in there, I assure you.
Stop changing the subject. What I want to know is, why ain't you unmasked, like the others?
I prefer, sir, to wear my mask.
Take it off, Don Juan. I want to look at your mug.
It might be better, my friend, if you didn't see my mug.
Now look here, Zorro.
Perhaps while we are waiting, I might tell you a story.
Yeah? What is this? Bedtime at Grandma's? The only story I'm interested in is what happened here tonight.
Exactly.
Eh?
I said exactly. Perhaps I can tell you the story.
All right, then, my fine, mysterious friend. Give.
Well, you see, it's quite a long story. It really all began 3 years ago. I remember that evening quite well. I let myself into Granger's apartment. It was a golden key I used. A bright golden key. And there was no one there when I arrived. So I closed the door and waited. Well, Grange, imagine seeing me here.
Huh? Blake. Oh, I say, you startled me.
Did I now? I dare say, had I been someone else, you wouldn't have been at all startled.
Incidentally, old man, how did you get in here?
I suppose it would be quite facetious of me to say that I came in the same way you did. Oh, I say, a new piano. Do you mind?
No, not at all. Go right ahead. Help yourself. Have a drink?
No, thanks. You'd better have one, though.
Oh, yes. I say, Blake, what's that you're playing?
You've heard it before, Grange.
Have I? I don't recall.
You have a short memory.
I usually remember pretty well.
When you choose to, you do, yes.
What do you mean by that?
My wife has played that tune for you every night this week and last and the week before that. You see, I happen to know.
Oh. I see.
Well, I'm glad you haven't the audacity to deny it.
No. I don't deny it. Your wife has been here. Often. As often as she possibly could. But I assure you, she came of her own desire.
And as a result of your oily persuasion.
I might agree, Blake, that she is easily persuaded. And of course, my curiosity prompts me to ask how you finally learned the truth.
I accidentally found the key to your apartment here. It was in Sylvia's purse. A golden key. With your initials engraved on one side, hers on the other.
Why, I thought that a rather handsome touch. Don't you agree?
I've brought the key back to you.
How gallant of you, old fellow.
I'm serious. Sylvia will never come here again.
Are you positive of that?
Quite. For I shall ask her not to.
You seem to believe she'll obey you.
She will. And I ask you now, Grange, as a gentleman, kindly refrain from inviting her here again.
In other words, hands off. Is that it?
I'm glad I make myself quite plain.
Why, you fool. You dull, stupid fool. What right have you to demand anything of Sylvia? Do you think for a moment, night after night, twiddling her thumbs while you're away from home?
I admit I've been busy this past year, but another 6 months...
You've no one to blame for Sylvia's being here but yourself. Here she's found what you denied her, Blake. And I doubt very much if she'll give it up.
Why, you swine, if you think for a moment... I forgot you carried a gun. But if you'd care to put it away...
Skip the heroics, Blake. You know, I think I've suddenly thought of a solution to all this.
The only solution is for you to leave Sylvia alone.
Oh, no. No, you're quite mistaken. This is the solution. Here in my hand. Indeed, I rather like the idea. Besides, with you out of the way, Sylvia need have no more qualms.
Why, you low yellow rat.
That's it, Blake. Come closer. Threaten me. Make me do it. Make me do it, Blake.
If you think killing me is a way out, Grange, you're very badly mistaken.
It's the only way out.
If you kill me, Grange, I'll come back and avenge myself.
One shot and that'd be all. I can prove self-defense. Sylvia will help. She'll swear you came here and tried to kill me.
I'll come back, Grange.
Just one shot directly between the eyes.
I'll haunt you, Grange, because by God in heaven, I'll come back.
It's a perfect scheme. Yes, I like
I'll
it.
I'll pierce the veil, Grange, because I'll come back if I have to fight all the demons of hell to do it.
Oh, prepare, Blake. This is a chance of a lifetime. It's the way out. Yes, it's the way out, Grange.
Get your extra paper! Wealthy playwright, slain in millionaire's apartment. Read all about it. Here you are, Mr. Keith Crane, playing self-defense and slaying a fellow Blake. Here it is, folks. Get your extra paper. Read the headline news about the killing. It's all here.
It is the judgment of this court that the defendant, Keith Grange, did shoot and kill the deceased, Philip Blake, on the night of April 16th, and that in so doing, he acted in the line of self-defense. The court therefore decrees that Keith Grange shall not be held to account for this unfortunate incident.
Dear?
I suppose there's nothing to worry about now.
Not the slightest thing. I told you from the very beginning, Sylvia, that I acted rightly in doing what I did.
Oh, I still can't resign myself to it.
But you must. It's all over. Philip is dead. Now we can be together as much as we please.
Keith, suppose you and I should have a misunderstanding. Suppose I should become angry sometime. So angry I might tell the truth to the authorities.
That, my dear, would be most unfortunate. But it's a possibility, and by no means should we overlook possibilities. So allow me to remind you, Sylvia, my dear girl, that your hiding the true facts of the matter at the coroner's investigation automatically makes you an accomplice.
Oh, I see. But why are we talking like this, darling? We'll both feel better after we've had a little rest.
Oh, of course we will, dear.
Kiss me goodnight, darling. I'm going home.
I'll take you.
Oh, no. No, I'd rather go alone tonight, if you don't mind.
As you wish, my dear. Good night.
Good night, darling.
Sweet.
Will you call me in the morning?
Yes, of course I will.
Good night, then.
Good night, darling. Pleasant dreams. That's strange. Very strange. Just a moment ago, there were only Sylvia and I here. Now she's gone. Yet I feel that I'm not alone.
You're not alone, Grange.
What? What was that? I thought I heard a voice.
It was my voice.
Who are you? Where are you?
I told you I'd come back.
No. No, it's just my imagination.
Is it your imagination, Grange?
Yes. Yes, of course.
I warned you. I warned you. Remember?
Come out. Come out in the open. Come out, I say. Do you hear me? Come out.
Your gun is useless against me now, Grange.
What do you want? Tell me, what do you want?
Oh, not now. The time isn't right now. But I'll be back. For me and wait. Watch and wait. For I'll come back, Grange. I'll come back.
No. No, I'm sure of it. It was no one. No one at all. I just imagined it, that's all. Yes, just my imagination. Sylvia, dear, you look so tired. Here, perhaps this will wake you up. Present for you.
A present?
Yes. Something I picked up today. I thought you'd like it.
How sweet of you, darling. I think I can guess just by looking at the box. It's a ring.
Oh, aren't you clever? Go ahead, open it.
All right, darling, but don't hurry me. Oh.
Hey, Sylvia. That isn't the ring I bought for you.
Keith. Look at this ring.
The initials. P.B.
Keith. This is his ring.
Sylvia, what are you saying?
It's his ring. I gave it to him.
But Sylvia...
Keith, I swear to you. Philip Blake was buried with that ring on his finger.
Do you mind coming around to the other side, please, mister? That door's busted and you can't get it open.
Oh, very well.
Sorry to ask that of you, but they ain't had time to get the other door fixed.
Where to, friend?
Huntington Arms Hotel, please.
Right. Excellent.
Huh?
That's where I'm going.
Oh. Well, you startled me. I didn't know there was anyone in this cab. It's so dark tonight.
Yes. Isn't it?
I say, I don't seem to feel anyone in the seat here beside me.
Strange. You certainly bumped me hard enough when you crawled in here.
Bumped you? I beg your pardon, sir, but I...
Never mind, Grange. Never mind.
You know me?
I'm surprised that you don't know me.
Why, yes. Your voice sounds familiar. Good Lord. Philip Blake.
Do you mind riding with me?
Blake, you're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be buried.
I am dead, Grange. I am buried.
Tabby! Tabby, stop this cab!
Right, sir.
Now, let me out of here. Let me out.
What's the matter, Governor? Hey, you hadn't ought to jump out of a moving car like that.
What in the name of heaven is in the back of that cab?
Why, nothing, Governor. Here, see? I'll turn on the light. There. See?
But there was somebody in there with me.
Oh, now, mister, there couldn't have been. Look for yourself. The seat's empty there. And you just jumped out on this side of the cab. The other door won't open. No, brother, there wasn't nobody in that seat with you. Must have been your imagination.
Hello? Hello, Doris? Dear, this is Sylvia. I just wanted to remind you about the masquerade ball at Keith's new home tonight. You'll be there? Fine. Now remember, masks and costumes for everybody. All right, dear. Bye. Now be sure to come in costume, won't you, Dorothy? Yes. And heavily masked, my dear. Yes, at Keith's new place. Oh, darling, wait till you see the place. It's really a mansion. Honestly, it's huge. I believe.
Sylvia, darling. So you've penetrated my disguise.
Silly. I heard you order it from the costumers yesterday. Darling, the music will start soon. Is the first dance ours?
Sylvia, my dear, every dance is ours tonight. Are you happy I bought this place?
Oh, it's lovely. Absolutely lovely, Keith. Darling, what's the matter?
That man in black. I've been watching him all evening. He's been watching me.
Do you know who he is?
No. He just stands and stares at me. Everywhere I go, he's always just a short distance away.
Look, Keith. He's going into your study.
Well, he hasn't any business in there.
Strange. I locked that door this evening so the guest wouldn't go into your study and disturb things.
Well, he just walked right in. Dear, I'll go see who he is and what he wants. You mingle with the guests and I'll join you later.
Very well, dear. But don't be long. I'll be waiting for you.
All right, Sylvia. Yeah. It's odd. This door is locked. Dark. The piano. Oh, confound it. Where's the light switch? There. No. No, it can't be. That piano. Someone's playing and... Yet there's no one seated there. The keys. Moving. Up and down. Playing the music. But there are no hands on them. That melody. It's the melody he played the night I killed him. He's playing it now. And yet he's not there.
I'm here, Grange. I'm here.
Blake.
Look closer, Grange. Here I am. You see?
Yes. I see you now.
I brought you a little gift for your masquerade party.
What?
You'll find it lying on your desk. Turn around and see for yourself. That's right. There. You see?
A gun.
It's the one you killed me with. Don't you recognize it?
Where did you get that gun?
I found it, Grange, and I've brought it back to you. I put one shell in its chamber. Just one, Grange. But that is enough.
What are you trying to... Gone. He's gone. Lord, am I mad? Was I dreaming? No. No, the gun is here. It is my gun. One cartridge, he said. Only one. One cartridge. Yes. Yes, it's the only way left. He knew it was the only way. Now he's left me to take it. All right, Blake. You can have your revenge. You can have it. You are right. It is the only way.
So he shot himself, eh?
The evidence in there will indicate that he did, yes.
Say, that's quite a yarn you spun, Zorro.
It is nothing but the truth.
Come on now, come on, my friend. Let's take off your mask and have a look at you.
One moment. Keith Grange shot Philip Blake squarely between the eyes.
Yeah? So what?
That doesn't make a very pretty sight.
Well, I don't see what that's got to do with... here comes the captain. He'll take that mask off you. Captain Sullivan, come here a minute, will you?
Yes, Casey, what is it?
Well, there's a mug here who won't take off his mask. He's been spinning me the most fantastic yarn I ever heard in all my... where'd he go?
Huh? Where'd who go? Say, did you let somebody get out of this house, Casey?
No, Sir Cap. No, I didn't. But he was standing here just a minute ago. He wouldn't take off his mask. He told me the darndest story about a murdered man coming back from the grave.
Casey, have you been near the punch bowl? Well, there's no one here now. Wait a minute. What's this stain here on the floor?
Blood. A little pool of it. there on the floor. Right in the exact spot where the man in black was standing.
Man Who Came Back, an original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop. Ben Morris was Keith Grange. Eleanor Naylor Corrin was Herda Sylvia. Fred Wayne took the part of Casey. Muir Height was Captain Sullivan. Murillo Schofield, the cab driver. And Eugene Francis was the man who came back. Ladies and gentlemen, every Friday night at this time, the National Broadcasting Company will bring you dark fantasy, tales of the weird, adventures of the supernatural, created for you by Scott Bishop. Listen one week from tonight for the breathtaking story of the tombs of ancient China, the soul of Shanhai Wan.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
are, Mr. Hedges. This is all we can dig up on that story about the missing Hollywood people.
Well, we can't wait any longer. We got to go to press. Let's see what you got. Story from the film Capital. More than a week ago, November 20th to be exact, Philip Hayward, young cinema star of yesterday's Bread and the popular actress Judith Johnston, set sail for New Zealand aboard Hayward's private yacht. As chaperone, Miss Johnston's movie director father accompanied the pair, and it's reported that Johnston Sr. is taking advantage of the sea voyage to complete his original cinema yarn, a story of the strange creatures who live beneath the surface of the sea. That was more than a week ago. Word's been received from New Zealand that the Hayward yacht's more than 2 days overdue. A careful check gives evidence that there have been no disturbances on the Pacific throughout the time the party's been aboard. Special searching parties failed to discover the whereabouts of the boat. Question in Hollywood tonight, the question everywhere, is what's happened to the trio aboard the Dolphin? Where are they? Have they become victims of the fantastic creatures created in the imagination of the author-director aboard the yacht? That is this week's Unsolved Mystery. Will it ever be? Oh, that's all right. Boy.
Right.
Get this down to makeup. Let's get it rolling.
Right away.
Stop that fool noise, will you?
Oh, take it easy, Johnston. No reason to start shouting at each other, you know.
Well, look here. We've been becalmed for 2 days and a night now. We haven't moved a knot one way or the other.
Well, I assure you there's nothing wrong with the motors. I've been over them myself. For some fantastic reason, they just refuse to start again.
Why? Why won't they start?
I don't know. Why did they stop in the first place?
Oh, it's weird. It's like some strange spirit has descended upon the boat.
Oh, nonsense.
Is it nonsense? There are many terrifying legends about sea spirits, fantastic adventures that have happened to sailors at sea.
Oh, just a lot of myths.
Who knows what strange creatures lurk beneath the sea's surface? Who can tell what might come up out of the depths at any moment?
Oh, stop it. You're talking like a superstitious old fool. You've made too many goofy movies. Just because you won an Academy Award is no sign I'm going to swallow the tripe you dish out in those 8 real clam bakes of yours.
No.
Judy.
You can't.
Hey, what's the matter with me?
You can't. No. I won't let you.
Daughter. Daughter, here. Wake up.
No. You can't do it. No. No, I said. No. No.
Judy. Oh. Judy, darling. What in the name of heaven?
Judy.
Oh. Are you all right?
Oh. I was asleep, dreaming. Oh, it was horrible.
I'd say it was a nightmare.
I dreamed I was talking to a young girl. Yet, she didn't seem like a girl at all. She looked more like a mermaid.
A what?
She was like a nymph from the sea. I thought she stood looking at me. She told me she'd been dead for centuries, and yet not really dead. I couldn't understand what she meant. She said something about her body being dead, but her mind being free to wander about the world.
Fantastic.
Oh, Dad, it was ghastly. She kept trying to convince me that I should let her mind enter my body.
Well, what did she say she wanted to do?
She said the entire civilization of the earth depended upon the task she had to perform. Oh, Phil, she seemed to be actually trying to force me out of my body so she could enter it.
Judy, what did this creature look like?
Oh, she was awful looking, Dad. She had long hair, green and slimy like seaweed. Her teeth were brilliant red. They were long and pointed. She kept staring at me with her little beady eyes. They were horrible, for there were no eyelids. She never blinked once. She just stared and stared.
Yes? What else, Judy?
Well, it was horrible when she touched me. She had long, narrow fingers with no nails on them, and they were covered with fish-like scales.
That's
positively the most amazing thing I've ever heard of.
Mr. Hayward! Mr. Hayward!
Oh, yes, Ned, what is it?
Oh, I say, look at the lad. Why, what's wrong, boy? You're pale as a ghost.
Mr. Hayward, the dolphin. She's moving.
The boat's moving. Good. The man got the motor started.
No, sir. That's just it. The motors aren't running. And there's no wind. But the boat's making about 20 knots an hour.
Oh. Why, this boat couldn't possibly move without motors.
That's not all. There's a man at the helm steering the boat. And he's a man none of us have ever seen before.
Man, are you sure?
Sure as I'm standing here, sir. And he's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Well, let's go have a look at him.
Hey, come on. Judith, you'd best stay here.
Oh, no. No, I'm not going to stay here by myself.
All right, come along, all of you. Follow me.
Sort of an ancient sea chanty.
Easy now. Maybe trouble.
There he is, sir. You see, Mr. Hayward?
Oh.
Yeah.
I say, Hayward, that's a man. It's some sort of a sea monster.
Look at his hands, Mr. Hayward.
The lad's right. Long, narrow fingers with webs between them. And no fingernails.
Dad, Bill, they're like the hands of the girl in the dream. Oh, where's he taking us?
Yes. I wonder.
Behind us, sir.
Oh, good Lord. A huge wall of water rising out of the sea.
Get down those steps, everybody. Get down, everybody. Down the steps.
Here into the cabin. Hang on.
I say, everybody all right?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Did Judy get down the cabin?
Yes, she made it. Just managed to close the door before the wave hit.
Are you all right?
Yes, okay. You, Judy?
What in the world caused that?
Yeah, what? No wind. And a wave of water. Hundreds of feet high.
It's a miracle we didn't capsize.
Look, sir. To the port side.
Yes, Ned?
It's land. Land, by heaven.
It can't be. Not in these waters. There's no land for 500 miles.
And what's that over yonder? Mirage?
No, sir. That's no mirage. It's land.
It certainly is. Long, low coast. Extending north and south as far as you can see.
A low, steaming land. Look. Look at the heavy vapors rising from it.
You're right, Judy. It is steaming. That must explain the sultriness that's been round us these past 2 days.
I've been in these waters a dozen times. This has never been here before. It's an entire continent where there ought not to be anything but empty sea.
Land from the sea. That explains the wave that swept over us. A wave that high could only have been caused by an undersea disturbance.
Oh, nonsense, Johnston. You're trying to say an underwater convulsion forced this vast expanse of land up to the surface.
Precisely. A land called Iban.
Now, I'll have to have a better explanation than that. Things like entire continents rising up out of the ocean just don't happen.
Well, then if Dad's not correct, what is the explanation?
There is no other. A land called Iban did exist one time, nearly 10,000 years ago. Ruled by a man named Bool. And a woman named Lana. They both possessed wonderful powers and knowledge. Bool, the emperor, destroyed the continent of Iban.
How?
by releasing vast unknown forces beneath the continent. Forces that only he and Lana knew how to control.
But why did he destroy it?
I don't seem to recall. I read the legend once, doing research for one of my pictures. It seems that for some reason or other, Bull and the girl were to release their spirits from their bodies. And those spirits were to have the power someday of recalling the sunken land from the sea.
Then if such a story is true, that must be the land of Iban we're approaching.
Not at all impossible. And if it is true, couldn't that monstrous chanting thing at the helm be Bull himself? Taking us with him back to his long-lost kingdom.
You don't actually believe that, do you, Johnston?
Why not?
Well, I certainly don't.
Well, Phil, what else can we believe?
That wave couldn't have swept us off our course enough to put us in sight of this land. Besides, look at it. Steaming. And that sultry, foul odor. Land covered with seaweed.
There's no one at the helm, sir. That monster's disappeared.
Oh, but look. There's someone lying on the deck beneath the wheel.
It's a man.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that thing's met with a bit of hard luck. Careful. Careful, Hayward.
Right.
He's breathing. Only slightly.
I say, who is he? Not a member of the crew.
Well, hard to get on board. Why is he lying here on deck?
What happened to him?
Oh. He's conscious. He's trying to tell us something. Look here. Who are you?
I... Stowaway. It in supply room. Went to sleep. I don't remember anything.
Doorway, he says. Hid in the supply room and went to sleep. Wait a minute. He's dead. Heyward, I'm going to have a look over here.
Oh, Judy, Judy.
Oh, Phil, I feel so strange.
Oh, dear, you look ill.
So very strange.
You'd better go below to the cabin, dear.
Yes, I'd better. I'll lie down for a while.
Shall I go with you, dear?
No. No, I'll be all right if I rest a little while.
All right, dear. Be careful going to your cabin.
Yes.
Oh, Ned, get a tarpaulin and cover the body.
Right away, sir.
Hey, wait. Come over here a minute, will you?
Yes, Johnson. What is it?
Here. Have a look. See? Someone's climbed down that rope ladder and gone ashore through the mud and slime.
Whoever it was, he didn't sink in very deep.
Seaweed's too thick. Kept him from sinking. I wonder who it was.
I'm in favor of finding out. Oh, Ned.
Yes, sir?
We're going ashore. Watch out for Miss Blake, will you?
Right, sir.
And not a word of this to the rest of the crew, understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, Johnston. Down you go. Now, follow those footprints and see where they lead us.
Place I was ever in. Hold on. Look.
Yeah. I see what you mean. A city up ahead there.
A city. From the depths of the sea.
I see, Johnston. Isn't that Captain Webb going into that low-domed building over there?
Eh? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. So that's our man.
Ahoy, Captain! Captain Webb! Wait a minute, Captain. Hold up a bit.
Hayward. He turned around. That snarl on his face. He's got a gun in his hand. Hayward. It isn't Webb. It's that thing.
What in the name of heaven is...
Stand back, the two of you.
Stand back.
What? You are not Captain Webb.
I am Bool, Emperor of Eban. And I've returned to claim again my ancient kingdom. If you come one step nearer, I shall be compelled to slay you.
You dare not, Bool.
Lana! Judy!
You seem surprised, Bool. Did you think I would forget?
Lana! Judy, darling, what does this mean? Why do you speak so strangely? And why does this thing call you Lana?
I am Lana, Philip Haywood. I have borrowed for a while the body of your beloved Judy.
What?
My mind, my spirit has entered her body. You see me as Judith Johnston, but now I am Lana, Empress of the Kingdom of Eban.
I have returned to rule Eban.
And I have returned to prevent
it. You cannot prevent it, Lana.
Look here. This quarrel is none of my affair. I demand that you release whatever power you have over my fiancée.
I have borrowed her body only for a little while, Philip Haywood. Just as Bool has borrowed the body of the captain of your craft.
Yeah. The body I first borrowed was a weak one. A sick stowaway. The captain's is a sturdy body. Now it is mine.
But you must return it to him, Bool. It is the law. You must return his body unharmed. Just as I must return the body of Judith Johnson.
It shall be so. I am about to enter the temple now to regain my Ebonite body.
You cannot open the burial chamber unless I accompany you.
I realize that full well. I enter the temple now. I shall await you, Lana, beside the sepulcher.
Look here, Lana. Oh, whoever you are, this is some horrible nightmare.
Philip Haywood, we must act quickly. I will try to explain. When Bool destroyed Eban 10,000 years ago, we sealed our Ebanite bodies in a vacuum chamber inside this temple. And our spirits left our bodies to roam the universe until Eban should be restored. Now Bool intends to re-enter his body and build a new Eban. Once he does reclaim his ancient body, all is lost. For no one save me can destroy him. And if I slay him, I too must die.
But what can you do?
I have a plan. Come with me into the temple where Bool awaits. Ancient bodies, just as we left them so long ago.
All is ready, Lana. We will break the vacuum, permit our spirits to enter our sleeping bodies. Are you prepared?
I am prepared, Bool.
Then we begin.
Look, those bodies in the glass vacuum, they're beginning to move.
Yes. Slowly. Slowly. Look at them.
No. No, don't. Please, Lord.
Judy, darling.
Oh, no. Help me.
Judy.
If you're again, I... Where am I?
Judy.
How did I get here?
Judy, thank heaven she's left you. You're yourself again. Look.
They've left the bedroom. See? Up there.
Oh, there she is. She's the one in my dream.
You are free. All of you.
Not so. The three of you will remain here forever to help rebuild the populace of Eban.
You cannot move.
Mool is all great, all powerful. Mool is the law. No one can defy.
No one, Mool. Save me.
You lack the courage, Lana.
Not now. I have the courage now. You are cruel and wicked, Mool. Your rule of ancient Eban ended in horrible tragedy. It must not happen again.
Put down the weapon, Lana. You dare not slay me. You'll die yourself.
Then I call upon death to claim me.
You dare not, Lana. You dare not slay the son of the ancient one.
Yes, fool, yes. It has been written by the hand of destiny.
Lana, think. Think before you slay me.
It's beyond the realm of thought, fool. Now, I destroy you, brother.
She did it.
That is the end. All is finished now. Now, you must go.
Can you come with us, Lana?
No. Soon I perish also. You must hurry now. Leave Eban quickly. Go while yet you have time. Hasten before it is too late.
Underway, full speed ahead.
No trouble starting the motors, dear?
None at all. Your father and Ned are down with the crew. The men don't even suspect what has happened to us.
Well, just as well. They'd never believe it.
Well, take a last look, Judy. You'll soon be out of sight of the land.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad it's all over, Phil. But poor Lana. She gave her life to save ours, Phil.
Yes, darling. She did.
What's that?
Look. Flames from the mainland, like a volcano.
Phil, the land's sinking.
It's Lana. Judy. She's released the forces. She's destroyed ancient Eban once again.
From the Sea, an original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop. Eleanor Naylor Corran was Judith Johnston. Ben Morris played Philip Hayward. Fred Wayne was heard as Johnston. Eugene Francis played Ned. Georgiana Cook was Lana. And Daryl McAllister was Boole, the Thing from the Sea. Next Friday night at the same time, the National Broadcasting Company will bring you another weird adventure thriller, The Demon Tree,
another tale of dark fantasy, created by Scott Bishop and based upon the ancient legend of the strangling oak of Nanowood in England. So, listen for The Demon Tree next Friday night. Dark Fantasy originates in the studios of Station.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.